got a lot of great feedback from last Sunday's lesson. As a matter of fact, I'm still getting feedback from last Sunday's message. If you didn't get a chance to hear it, if you'll go on our website, it'll be up, if not already, and you can hear it. And the reason why you want to hear it is because all the month of January, where it's kind of thematic, if you will, because it's the same subject matter, just using some different thoughts along the way. Here's what we talked about last week. Listen very closely. You can only change you. You can't change your spouse. You can't change your children. You can't change your parents. You can't change your boss. You can't change your employees. You can only change you. That's what you need to work on. That's what I need to work on. And so if we'll each work on ourselves, we'll be better as a result of it. Can I get an amen? All right, today we want to delve into the A word. A major way to change our lives is attitude. Attitude. It's an element of change that you just cannot do without. I want you to think about this for a moment. It's really tough to define, but here's the way I would define attitude. It's a person's manner, disposition, feeling, the way they act or think toward a situation or a person. And if you want to change your life, attitude is a major player. Now, what do we know about attitude? Well, here's what we do know about it. It is often caught or taught by others. Secondly, we group the word together, and here's what we say. Oh, that person has a BA. They got a bad attitude. Or we say that person has a GA. That person's got a good attitude. I saw some good attitudes today when people were entering the building today. I saw people helping people in the parking lot. I saw some people go down on their... Well, we won't mention that word from the pulpit. Well, look at there. There's Richard and Tammy Lawrence from Key West, Florida. Do you think they got a good attitude today? Watch it. Watch it. All right. You know, 80 degrees in the shade. All right. And here it's 20 degrees in the sun. You know, attitude, it's always grouped together. Good attitude, bad attitude. Number three, it's a whole lot easier to see than people realize. Kind of reminds me of this mother and daughter. They went shopping together. Can you imagine a mother and daughter doing such a thing? They went shopping together. Went into this store and that store in the mall. They came out of one store, and the girl said to her mother, "Can you believe the dirty look that sales associate gave to me?" Her mother said, "You had that before you went in." Hey, it's a whole lot easier to see than people realize. We can't read your mind, but I promise you today, we can see your attitude. It's on your face. It's in your disposition. It's how you go about your life. Well, turn to Philippians chapter 2 with me, and let's talk about this morning a godly attitude. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. If we're going to talk about the mind of Christ, we're going to talk about something that is going to show us the number one attitude that has ever existed or will ever exist. And I want to go back and talk about that, but first I need to read 6 through 8 to help you see the kind of attitude that Jesus possessed. 6 through 8. Who, Jesus, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death on the cross. You know, as we think about Jesus' attitude, as we think about Jesus' way of thinking, as we think about Jesus' mindset, there are two S words that I think really bounce off the Scriptures. And I did not include these in the PowerPoint today, but I'm going to allow you to write them down for your notes. The first S word is in verse 7, that Jesus was the ultimate servant. The ultimate servant. Now, as we think about Jesus. Sean, just a few moments ago, helped us to see the servanthood of Jesus when He bore our sins on the tree at the cross of Calvary. There is no greater example of serving than the life of Jesus. When we think about the widow's mite, we saw how the woman was serving God by what she gave to God. That was an act of servitude and servanthood by what she did. As we see Jesus being interested in people that other people were not interested in, we see the concept of servanthood. Can you imagine in Mark chapter 1, a person who was a social outcast in that period of time? As a matter of fact, they had to have a cloth or a rag, we would call it, something like maybe a handkerchief today. And they would have to put it like this. And through this, they would have to communicate and talk as they approached people. And as they approached people, here's what they had to say. Unclean! Unclean! And everybody around them knew that they didn't want to get around a leper, oozing sores, just a grotesque way to look at somebody, the flesh literally rotting off the bone. But the Bible says in Mark chapter 1, Jesus showing servanthood, He reached out and He touched the leper. So Jesus was touching the untouchables of His day and time. And in the process, He was showing us servanthood. That He used His body for service to mankind. John 4 says that Jesus got tired, that Jesus got weary. That there are times in life when we do acts of service toward others that we're going to get weary. We're going to get tired. We're going to wear down. We're going to be thirsty or we're going to be hungry or whatever the case might be. But we're learning a good attitude by serving others and using our body to the glory and honor of God who gave it to us. If you really want to change, you need to possess the attitude of Jesus Christ, because Jesus says your outlook and your outcome are determined by the way that you look at things. And so verse 8 teaches us the second S word. And the second S word is sacrifice. If you want a good attitude, there are going to be times in your life that you're going to have to put forth those sacrifices. And you're going to be called upon to give maybe more than you've ever been called upon to give before. And it might not just be a financial gift. It might be you're called upon to give your time, which everybody in this room knows is so precious. We only have a limited amount of it. There's just not an excess amount of time out there where we could say, you know what, I'm going to go to the bank and I'm going to draw out a little more time. We don't have that pleasure. We don't have that opportunity. We don't have that privilege in our life to be able to do that. We have a limited amount of it. You may be called upon to sacrifice some of your time. You know, I really believe, and I don't want to embarrass her at all, but I really believe that Lil is making a sacrifice. I believe Adam's making a sacrifice. Adam's going to be without Lil for almost a month, I guess it is. You know, anybody here want to take pity on Adam and get him a meal? I mean, you know, take care of him a little bit. But they're two sons. There'll be a sacrifice. She'll be away from her children and from her spouse, from her church family. I mean, there's some sacrifice that's going into that. And that's having the mind of Christ and having that attitude like Jesus would have. Well, let me take it a little step further and talk about some real keys to unlock the door of attitude. And it's showing Paul, as Paul was a participant in the lives of other people. Now, when you go to Philippians 2 verse 5, it of course says, let this mind or attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Here's what we have to ask. What mind did Christ have? Well, I want you to go back to 2:2. In 2:2, 2:19 and 20, and in 4:2, you're going to see the same concept. And so I want to drive this point home to us today. 2:2, fulfill my joy by being like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. You see, singularity of mind in 2:2. You see some people that may have had a conflict and a difficulty. And he says, listen, I want to help you through your conflict by having a single purpose of mind, and that you be like-minded. Look at chapter 2, 19 and 20. Paul is going to talk about some people that were very near and dear to him and close to him in friendship and relationship and in companionship. It was Timothy and Epaphroditus. Look at Timothy. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged, that I may know your state. Watch 20. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. Paul is saying about Timothy, listen, I can count on Timothy. Timothy is a friend, but he's more than that. We think alike. We're like-minded. I might be a little bit older, he might be a little bit younger, but Timothy thinks like I do, and I think like Timothy thinks. We're like-minded. And when you go over to chapter 4 and verse 2, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 2, Paul was talking about two ladies in the congregation of Philippi that may have been at odds with one another. Their names were Euodia and Syntyche. He says, I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And so he uses that same concept that Euodia and Syntyche be like-minded, like Timothy and Epaphroditus were, like the folks were in chapter 2 and verse 2, that they be like-minded, that they think in the same direction, that they are on the same page, that they're all pulling in the same direction. You know, that can certainly be true of a church. It can certainly be true of a congregation, that a congregation is like-minded, that we understand that we are unified for one specific purpose, that it is our goal in this room to help one another. Richard, go to heaven. Isn't that really the goal of leadership and the goal of servanthood in our congregation? To help one another pull in the same direction, to help one another go to the same place, not to get derailed, not to get sidetracked, not to let the world become so interesting to us that we don't want to leave it, but that we help one another be like-minded in the common goal of going to the very same place. And the church said amen. Amen, church? Amen. That's what it means to have a good attitude. After all, last slide. After all, our attitude is going to determine our altitude. Whether it's our young people in school, whether it's at the workplace where we're trying to climb the proverbial ladder, if you will, whether it's at church when we all are like-minded, altitude is going to be determined by attitude. A few years ago in the Special Olympics, the young man's name was Andrew. Andrew stood in that line, got ready for that run, and when that sound went off, Andrew darted out away from the pack. Andrew was running like he had never run before. He got within 50 yards of the finish line. He looked around back to see where his closest competition was. And he was far ahead of them all. But out of the corner of his eye, Andrew saw one of his BFFs, his best friends forever, had fallen on the track. As Andrew turned around and saw that, he came to a screeching halt. But the parents and the people in the stands said, no, Andrew, run, Andrew, run, Andrew. You're going to win the race. Andrew, you're just a few yards from the finish line. Andrew, don't stop. Andrew stopped. Andrew went back with all the other runners passing him by. And Andrew went back and he picked up his fallen comrade, his BFF. And arm in arm, Andrew and his best friend They got to the finish line, and guess what? Dead last! But Andrew didn't care, because he and his BFF were like-minded. He didn't get a ribbon. He didn't get a trophy. But you know what Andrew did get? He got the prize possession from the entire Special Olympics as somebody who cared about others. Let me ask you a question this morning. Would you be the person who says, I'm getting to the finish line regardless, and I'm going to get my trophy, I'm going to get my ribbon, I'm going to get first place, and I'm going to be up there in front of all the people as the winner? Or would you have stopped out of the corner of your eye when you saw a fallen BFF and went to pick them up so that you could cross the line together? You see, attitude, it really does make the difference. Grab your songbook. Well, in part one of our message, we talked about change. And when we said you can only change you, we weren't suggesting that Jesus can't change all of us. We were simply saying that don't try to change your spouse or your children or your parents. Work on yourself. You got a big enough job. I've got a big enough job working on myself. Work on yourself. Let the blood of Jesus cleanse you through immersion. And today, attitude. Would somebody look at you and say, you know what? They've got a GA. I've got a good attitude. I can emulate that. I can follow that. I can mimic that. I can go with that because they got a good attitude. I like being around them because they got a good attitude. Or would somebody look at you and say, you know what? I avoid that person. I evade that person because they have a BA. They got a bad attitude. I really don't want to be around them. Which of the two groups would you find yourself in this morning? As we sing our song, we can tell it to Jesus. We can ask the Lord to help us and encourage us and forgive us. It may be that as we embark upon the second Sunday of the year, you've thought about your need to be immersed and reach the blood of Jesus and get that attitude to where exactly where it ought to be. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And you're willing today to step out and say, I'm ready to be immersed. Or it may be that you've had a BA in some respects, in your family, in your work, in your school, whatever the situation might be. You say, I've had a bad attitude, and I need to change my attitude, and I need to change it today. What a wonderful opportunity it would be right now for you to change your attitude. Brian, as we stand and sing.